Hi, and welcome to the DIY Photo Organizing Podcast, focusing on topics to help you with your photo management. I'm Fiona from Photo Helper.
And I am Chantelle from Photos in Order. Hi, Fiona.
Hey, Chantelle.
So today we have another great guest for you, and we're really, really excited because it's about time that she's on. Welcome, Amy Ravel from The Art of Decluttering. Hello, Amy.
Hey, Chantelle. Hey, Fee.
Hello.
So good to be here.
Oh, yeah. Great to have you.
It's about time because I had the pleasure to be a guest on your podcast, Amy, a few times actually. And now we're so excited to have you on. And listeners, as you might have guessed from Amy's business name, which is The Art of Decluttering, Amy is all about decluttering and organizing homes and helping people to do that. So obviously that means that she probably comes across people with photos sometimes too, and that actually, you know, that struggle to organize and declutter their photos. So today we just simply love to talk about some of the principles and strategies that you use, Amy, when you help clients, and how these can be applied to photos, because they absolutely can. I often say to my own clients, like, you know, organizing or decluttering a wardrobe is actually not that much different to organizing photos, you know, in when you talk about principles. So
absolutely, yeah. And so it's such a joy to have you, Amy. And what I thought we might start with is, as we know, every business, we've said before here that, you know, every business has its own, really comes with the personality and the heart behind the person that runs the business. And so we would just love to hear a little bit. And if you could share just the heart and personality, why you do what you do, and a little bit about yourself and your business.
Thanks, ladies. Well, hello to all your community. I love what you guys do around photo organizing, because I think in our industry, it's so important to have people who are experts in the areas that have a little bit more specificity around it. We don't organize photos at the Art of Decluttering as a niche. I just outsource it all the time. And what I love about decluttering and organizing is I think that there's a real overwhelm and a bit of a shame for people around having homes that are not functioning the way they want them to, where they're feeling like, oh, I come home from work and I'm overwhelmed and I feel like there's so many things I should be doing. The house is a mess. I should be better than this. I should know how to do it. And going in and helping people find freedom from clutter is just something we absolutely love to do as a team, whether that's clients who have disabilities or full-time busy parents, people who are living in share houses, like right across to downsizers, and whatever stage and whatever the level of clutter and whatever the reason for that initiation of the decluttering, it's about helping them find freedom from that clutter.
Oh my gosh, I love that. It's such a such an applicable focus to have, as you know, and really relates well with our photos, because what you're saying then is there is no right way.
Correct.
And it is completely independent of any sort of an expected sort of process. It really is down to that relationship and the heart behind what that person has come to you for, and what is going to free them is so individual.
Yeah. And no matter how bad your clutter gets, the clutter police are never going to turn up. And so you do it for yourself, or you do it for your family, or you do it for your values, or you do it for your lifestyle. And I think there is a freedom in owning that and being responsible for that and not feeling like you have to do it alone. Like it's not something we're all born with. Like knowing how to do that is not some innate human thing that you should know. It's definitely teachable and learnable and practicable.
Yeah.
And I love it.
So do you find that you actually help people find that reason? Like you said, you're like, do you help them? Because sometimes maybe they don't know.
often they don't know. I do the majority of our client intake calls, and sometimes that's a 45-minute, hour-long conversation, because they'll call and often just say, I'm stuck. I don't know where to start. It's out of control. It's making me anxious. It's causing arguments in the family. And so there's kind of, they can explain what the impetus has been for the phone call. But then what I love doing is working with them. Okay, so why is this important? Why is this worth your investment in time and energy and finances? Because that's what I'm going to draw them back to when they're like, this is too hard. I don't want to do this. This isn't worth my, you know, taking my Wednesday afternoon off work and doing, is I just bring them back to that why. But remember that you haven't had guests over for 12 months, and that's what you want to do. Your value is hospitality. And so I can get you there. And if that's still your value and still important, let's do it.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. And so you've got sort of like, you guys get into everything, right? So you don't just sort of, you do one space, you can do the whole house, you can, what's sort of the main areas that you guys offer and provide?
If you have it, we will declutter that space. So we have done literally every space you can think of in any type of home, and plenty that we go, I didn't even know people had spaces like that in their house. From wine cellars to, oh, like some of the houses we go to that are more luxurious homes have rooms that I would never even thought of including in a house plan. And people have hobbies that I would never even think of allocating a room to. Yeah. And so it really is every area that you have possessions in, we come in and help with. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that we touch with you every single item. And so if we're going through a particular area, we don't just kind of do a light declutter over the top. It's like we pull everything out, go through it all, declutter, organize, and create a system for it.
I love it. I love it. That's going to bring
too,
us
to Fee.
What was that?
Me too.
Yeah. of course. I can tell. That's the beautiful thing about you, Amy. It's just you wear your heart on your sleeve, so you can tell that you love what you do. And that's why I think people, you know, that sort of energy and genuine heart behind when you're doing something, it really is, it's a contagious thing. So even if someone calls and they're just looking for a practical solution, when you're able to spend that time with your own passion for something, they really, you know, it really can bring someone to life in their own situations. And I think that's, you know, it just brings that extra level of, just a unique connection. And that can be really sometimes the make or break for them seeing it and then owning it themselves and really becoming invested in the process. Like you say, you know, it's sort of quite a practical step that they, I really need to do this. But then when you can help uncover that really deeper reason for them.
And I think it's something you guys would do with photos as well, is that when you're first working with a client, part of your role is to be a hope bringer. Because you're saying to them, the thing that you want is possible and I can help you get there. Because for us, it's not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You don't look at someone's photo collection and think, oh, no, I have no idea what to do here. Like, you guys look at that and go, yep, here's the process, here's the steps, we can get you there. And I think having that ability to convey hope to people is a really powerful role of a professional organizer, whether it's photos or garages or toy rooms or bedrooms. Like, it's it's a really key part of our responsibility.
And I like how you touch on the why, because that's actually our golden rule number two, isn't it, Fiona?
Yep.
it always comes first. It's, you know, sitting down and having a think, why am I doing this whole thing? Because as you say, it costs money, time, energy. Working with photos can be very draining and exhausting mentally as well.
Absolutely.
So it is important to know that why, because when we do sort of, you know, come into a phase that's a bit harder, that will keep us going to go back to, all right, yeah, remember where we want to go. And I find it's important, especially in the decluttering phase. It helps to let go a bit easier, I find, knowing where we want to go, what's the big why behind it all. Do you find Absolutely. That?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And it also brings a greater sense of satisfaction when the job's complete, because you're also reminding them at that point, hey, remember, this is why. So for you guys, I'm sure there's like, and this is the photo book, or this is the ability to share stories around your photos. Like we're bringing them back and going, you did it. Good on you. We did it together and you got there.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things we'd love to be able to sort of bring to our listeners is some of the principles that you go through. I'm sure while we know everyone's situation is unique, I'm sure there's a lot of similarities and sort of a process or some principles, strategies that you go through that are fundamental that you know work. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to explore some of them. So can we open up that sort of topic of how you work and how some of these might cross over and be beneficial?
Yeah, and I like that the principles that we use when we're out with clients and that we teach and that I share is applicable whether it is your kitchen and going through your Tupperware drawer or whether it's your photo collection. And I think that having kind of that foundation then allows you to be creative in the different ways that you execute it. So the first step is always around your why, and we've talked around that. But the next is the gather, and that's kind of the bringing together of like with like. So if we're talking about photos and I'm with a client and they're saying, oh, here's my photo collection, and I can see there's like three albums, maybe a box that's got loose photos in it, there's a couple of frames on the walls, like I'm going, I can see that even though you feel this is your photo collection, we've got to remember that you've also got photos on your phone. You've got photos on a hard drive. You've got photos on your wall. You've got photos in the kids' bedroom. And so that gathering is really important. So if it's in a kitchen, for instance, it's like, well, where are all the drink bottles? Could there possibly be some in the back seat of the car and under your kid's bed? The answer in my house is usually yes. And so the gather is really important, because then you actually know the scope of your project and what you're working with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make wise choices when you kind of know, all right, I can see that I've got 36 drink bottles, but only three kids. What am I going to do about that?
Yeah, this is so true. And that's actually exactly what we promote to, what we suggest to people, you know, gather and take time to gather properly.
Yeah.
Because once you've finished and you find more, it's much harder, we find, to then deal with that. Is that what you experience?
Yeah, and lots of people will say to me, like at the start of a job, oh, and I want to do my photos as well. And I always say to them, let's collect the photos, let's have a central location, let's have a tub, and as we go through the house, let's put them in there, and that can be the job that's at the end, because I'm going to send you to someone else for that. But they often want to do it at the start, and they're like, well, can you just give me like Chantel's number now? I'm like, I can, but it's going to make the job so much easier if you wait 4 weeks and we've then collected all the photos that you totally forgot about, all the hard drives that you forgot about, and so you've got them together for that project.
Yeah.
I'm sure that makes it easier for you guys too when people have.
Yeah, totally.
Even more so than in the house, because at least in the house you're physically touching them, whereas photos often – It's a much more complicated job.
Yeah, once you get to the automated process and you're sorting through it, it is a lot easier to have it all there.
Yeah, and that's the next step for you, is the sorting. So once you've gathered, then we sort. So I'll stick with the kitchen analysis. If we're going through the Tupperware, okay, let's sort what I call like the itty bitties. So where you put like a little bit of dressing or you put some yogurt, like those smaller containers, as opposed to the containers that you use when you freeze a big batch of soup. And so sorting like with like gives you kind of those broad categories. And the photos is exactly the same. Like, are you going to sort them by year, event, people, location? Like, what is that category? And then sorting within that really helps you to then do the next step, which is the declutter.
So in your sorting step, do you find, again, is there a right or a wrong? Like, is there sort of, yeah.
I would love to say yes, but no. There's, the right and the wrong is completing the sorting and the categorizing.
Right.
How you get there. I was working with a client yesterday who, in one area of the house, what really works for her is we sorted everything into categories and then she did the declutter. And then we moved into her office and she goes, I can't sort into categories in here. I need to do the declutter first because it's actually just too much stuff. And so then I was like, that's totally fine. So we sorted, and then what she was keeping, what she wasn't decluttering, then we sorted into the categories. So there's right. not some, you know, it works differently in different spaces. If you've got a lot of space, like as in flat surfaces, you might more be able to sort in big categories there. Whereas if you don't have a lot of space, sometimes you're sorting within a drawer. And so it does look really different.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So as long as the end result is complete.
Correct.
Yeah, tick that box. Okay. Yeah. And so moving on. So what do you do next?
So the declutter. This is the bit that lights me up that I love, because ultimately the declutter step can't be missed, or that why generally can't be achieved. And so even if they haven't gathered and we're dealing with, you know, things in just the location that they're in, and then later on we have to deal with more drink bottles, or even if we haven't sorted and they've totally said, I don't want to do that, I just want to declutter, at least we're getting rid of things. Mm-hmm. And so that makes the whole process easier. And so the declutter is about, like, what do you need, use, and love? And they're the things you want to consider. Actually, maybe I do need to keep those. So the whole spark joy thing, my toilet brush does not spark me joy, but having a clean toilet does.
Yes.
And so I'm keeping the toilet brush. And so not everything's going to spark joy. Sometimes you keep things that actually make you sad, but they are important. Like, you might have photos of someone that you've lost, and that looking at the photos make you sad, but you're not getting rid of them because they're actually a really important part of your story. Mm-hmm. And so that use, love, and need are a really good kind of quick, easy questions to ask yourself as you're going through. And then get rid of what you don't need. Like, I'm a minimalist at heart. I don't have a, you know, you guys can see behind me, I'm certainly not a minimalist when it comes to houseplants.
I love it.
A lot of houseplants. But having more than you need makes it much harder to be organized. It makes it much harder to get ready. It makes it much harder to find things. And so the less that you have actually simplifies your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And do you find that people can learn that?
Absolutely. It's like a muscle. It's like some, you know, it might get sore to start off with, and you think, oh, like, it was really hard to get rid of that one thing, that blanket that my mum made me. It was really hard. I know it had moth holes everywhere and it was horrible and it wasn't warm anymore. It was really hard. But then as you get rid of that and go, oh, I do still love my mum though.
Yeah.
My mum knows that I still love her. It's just that the blanket stopped serving its purpose. And I think you build that muscle and you become more resilient and you become more confident in your decision making. And then you also see the benefits of it. You're like, oh, now I don't have to pick up that blanket and feel guilty about it every time because I've made that decision. And you start to go, actually, this kind of feels good. And you build that confidence. And some people say to me, it's a bit addictive. Is after you leave, I'm tired, but I'm still walking around finding things to declutter.
Yeah.
I like coming back to, you know, Marie Kondo that you touched on with the spark joy thing. One thing I do agree with her there is to deal with the photos and the sentimental stuff last, because absolutely. I find it so true what you just said, that it is like a muscle. You can build that skill, you can hone that skill. And when you start with the hardest, for most people, photos are the hardest, not for everyone, absolutely. But for most. Don't start there, I would say. Start with unemotional stuff. That's like, as the kitchen, you know, for
Linen
and again, it's
cupboard.
so individual. For some people, books are very personal and very hard to let go of. For others, they couldn't care less. So it's, again, there's no right and wrong, but I do agree that, you know, don't start with the photos. Choose something that's a bit less close to your heart, I would say.
It's the same with clothes. Like when clients say to me, I want to start in my wardrobe, I'm like, really? Because it is a lot more related to who we are as a person, and the value we put a lot more value on clothes and photos and sentimental items than we do on laundry powder and scrubbing brushes. Like it's just it doesn't say much about us whether we have gardening gloves and secateurs, and that says less about us than the dress that we really loved but doesn't fit anymore, or the wedding dress that outlasted the marriage. Like those things are really personal, and photos is definitely one of those. And I think when it comes to the decluttering, sorry, Fee, I know you were going to, what I think can be really helpful is to declutter the easiest things first. So within the declutter, I think that there's also a strategy of making it easy, and you want to get rid of like rubbish. Like what's rubbish? What can just we get rid of? What can we rehome? What actually just lives in a different part of the house? So there might be a teacup next to your bed or books in a different spot in the house. And you're like, oh, actually, if I just put that back where it belongs, I don't actually need to declutter it. And then you make the decisions, okay, what now am I actually going to get rid of and repurpose back into the marketplace? So what's good enough that I can donate or sell? And then you're left with what you use, love, and need, and you organize it. And so that kind of going from the easy, and I know when I've done my photos, the easy for me is duplicates. And so I'm like, okay, I can get rid of duplicates without having any stress. And so I kind of get rid of the duplicates. And then I'm like, okay, what about photos from like grade four camp that's just like trees? Okay, I can let go of those. And so for me, the way that I do my photos is actually through that progression as well, like easiest through to, okay, do I really need 600 photos from my wedding day? Awesome event, loved it. Do I need 600? And that's harder than the duplicates.
So so when you're going through like this, all these different sort of steps that you're talking about, do you find that people can do these? I mean, obviously you provide this as a service, so and some people will do that and some people don't, and obviously you have an amazing fabulous podcast where you can help people that want to do this on their own, you know, The Art of Decluttering. Please look it up if you guys haven't heard it. It's wonderful. But do you find that people can do this on their own, or do they need help, or even if it's a friend or their kids or a parent or like, or a professional, but sort of where do people sit with being able to make some of these difficult decisions? Because they're obviously, you know, in the position that they're in for a reason.
That's a really, really good question.
Yeah.
I think that we people absolutely can. And I think that some people naturally do. Often when I have people apply for jobs with the Art of Decluttering, one of the things I write is, I've been doing this since I was a kid, or I can't remember a time where my bedroom wasn't being reshuffled and reorganized every 6 months. And I love decluttering, and I go over and I help my mom. Like there's people who it is, they just have that thing in their brain that makes it work. But I definitely think it's something that people can learn, and having kind of that foundations of like, well, here's some principles that can help you, definitely give you more framework for success. There's lots of people that will pull everything out and then get overwhelmed and feel like they've failed. But actually it's just because they haven't had that like planning step, like, okay, what is next? And so people will do it by themselves without any input ever from a podcast or a book or a professional. Other people will need, I talk about it, there's like the self-motivated superstar is the person that decides to run a 5K and just runs it. They don't have to have a coach. They don't need accountability. They don't even have an app. They just go and do their thing. And those people generally don't need anyone else around them. But if you're someone who likes peer support, that actually you have the people, you might call a friend over and go, hey, I need to declutter this. Do you want to come over for a cup of tea and, you know, we'll do it together. And so those people that might join a community or a group or listen to a podcast, or they just want friendship and community around it.
Yeah.
And then there's people who like personal trainers. And that's me. Like, I pay to go and see an exercise physiologist every week for Pilates when I could go and join a class for about a tenth of the price. But I know myself that that class is not what I need. I actually need someone who's focusing on me, telling me what to do, keeping me accountable, pushing me that little bit harder. And so then there's people that do that in terms of organizing. They call in you guys, or they call in the Art of Decluttering. And what they need is a personal trainer to either save them time, to save them that process and the stress of it, or they want it to be done efficiently, or they want it to be done right the first time. And so whether you do it on your own, do it in community, or do it with a professional, I think you can succeed at any of those levels. You've got to know yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got to know how you work and what your motivation type is.
Love that. So that brings me to the question, because I just thought of this as you were talking. How do, so just say you know yourself, or you maybe not quite sure, but you sort of can see where you fit within those categories of type of support or not. And obviously there's a learning that happens along the way as you step through the process. Do you ever do the go back in 12 months, knock on the door, how are you doing? How's your bathroom, cupboard and kitchen, you know, toy, you know, toy box or Tupperware going?
Not unannounced. But that's, people often will call us back. Some people like to have like a 6 or 12 month kind of check-in. And that is because life changes. You might have a kid that started high school, or you might have a newborn, or you might have combined households, you might have moved house, you might have downsized. Like, life changes and stages are often a really good point to do that reassessment. And I just love going back, and people are like, did you notice how much this is working? And did you notice that I've kind of adjusted that a little bit? And now we never seem to have toys everywhere because now we do this. And I think that's a really important part of being an expert, is you're coaching people for success. Mm. Like, we're not cleaners. We don't just go in and do the job knowing it's going to need to be done again in a week, and we do it for people. It's so much about doing it with people and training them. If I have to come back every week for the next 3 years, I'm probably not doing my job right. Sometimes we have people with physical limitations or cognitive limitations that do need extra support. But ultimately, we want to train people and go, you can do this. There, I am not going to run out of work in our consumeristic culture. I don't have any fear of training people and saying, you can do this. Come back if you get stuck. Let me know if you need some tips. And I think that's, that we are not running out of work in our industry.
Neither. Oh, no.
And I think that relates to the same thing that we have with our photos, because, when you're in a cluttered space, whatever that looks and feels like, and the level of that in a house, and the same with the photos, no matter how many duplicates they've got, or how far and wide their gathering process brings them to sort of come to that place where it's like, well, now what do I do? Once there's a structure and a system there for them, if they've been a part of that journey along the way, then being able to, you know, maintain, because as you say, we're in this consumerism society, we're going to have new things coming into the house, you know, just give it a day and we've got new food in the fridge and stuff like that. So it's the same with the photos. You know, we're not going to stop taking photos. So we need to have some kind of a way of, once this, the overwhelm and the main issues sort of been addressed, then how to help people see that they are then the big part of being able to manage that process.
Chantel, you've told me before that you do like a monthly audit of your phone photos and that type of thing. Yeah. And I think that that principle can be used in any area, that you go, okay, I'm going to do a monthly audit of my casserole dishes, and it's the seasonal, but monthly probably on some of those things is a bit much. But every 3 months in my wardrobe, I'm just going to do an audit. So rather than letting it get out of control, actually, I can see that that t-shirt, I never got that stain out of it. It's probably time to let it go. And so that maintenance is a really key part. And I think that it's often overlooked, because once we feel like we've got it sorted, we just kind of let it go. But if you almost like schedule it, or are listening to a podcast where you're kind of constantly in that mindset, I think that can be helpful.
Oh, very much so. It is the maintenance that is key. I like to sort of, I'm hoping to take stress away from my clients by explaining to them, look, I sort of draw a line in the sand and say, okay, now we're dealing with the backlog. That's all the photos that you've taken till now. And we will deal with that, you know, and either show them how to do it or I do it for them. But then draw that line in the sand and let's think about, because what Fiona said, we keep taking photos every day. So what do we do with them? We need a system in place. We need a process in place. And we can start with that today and moving forward, you know, culling the photos on a whatever weekly, monthly basis, love hearting them, adding keywords and whatnot. But I don't want to do that with the 40,000 photos that I already have. So, you know, just as long as they're in one place, they're backed up, they're there, they're still maybe in a mess, but you know, that's already more than most people probably have, because most people, they have it all over the shop, right? So let's focus on that moving forward and maintenance. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't translate that easily in actual, you know, belongings that we keep in our homes, but I do find that is very important. And it can also be sort of a quick win.
I think it absolutely translates, because when people say to us, I want to declutter my whole house, if they wait for the whole house to be decluttered before they start maintaining the spaces that are done, they're going to end up in a vicious cycle. And so when we say to them, okay, we've done your wardrobe, your aim for the next week is to be using that system, to be putting your clothes away, not living out of like washing baskets. And even though the rest of the house hasn't changed, if you can get into the habit of maintaining this space, when we come back next week, we're not going to have to redo the wardrobe because you have maintained it, and then we can move on to the toy room or the office or whatever. So I think it is, it's really key that once you've kind of got a system, you use it, even if it's like, it feels like you're doing micro maintenance, you're still doing maintenance, and it reduces your load in the future.
It's so good. So, Amy, how do you, so just say when you were talking about before with the intake call and finding out the why and things like that, just say someone said, okay, they're ready, they've made that decision and they're going to do something and get some help. What kind of things would you let them know? So in that time before, so they've made the call, they've made a decision, and then they're going to have somebody come and help. How do you help prepare someone? So just say, obviously, when they're going about their organizing and their photos and they know they're going to do something, what kind of a mindset or preparation or something like that do you, like, how do you deal with that to help prepare someone for when they're going to actually start the job of doing the organizing?
That's a great question, because I'm not sure I've articulated that quite so clearly. So I think one of the things is helping people to know their why, but then explaining to them that what they've done so far is really good. So the fact that you've reached out, the fact that you've even thought of this, the fact that you Googled it is a really positive step that you're ready. And don't oversell. I'm not an overseller and underdeliver. Not, oh my gosh, it's going to change your life, this is going to be incredible, in one session we're going to get it all done. It's like, this is going to be incredible and it's going to take some hard work and we're going to be there with you, and it's okay that you might feel really anxious before we come. I always give the anxiety warning, and I say to them, I actually even have it in my confirmation email, it's really normal to feel quite anxious before we come and be tempted to cancel in the couple of days beforehand. Those nerves are a positive indicator that you're making good changes in your life.
That's
because
awesome.
It's really normal to be anxious before you let a stranger into your home to help you in an area that you're feeling overwhelmed by. And that's normal. And it's probably, if you didn't feel that to some degree, that would be more abnormal. And so it's helping people kind of anticipate the process. So I often talk through, like, here's what we do with the donations. Here's some ideas around what we'll do with the rubbish. Here's what the session will look like. You know, like, we work with you. We don't just kind of give you advice and you write down the advice and then you go and do it. No, we're physically climbing under your couches, helping you get things out of the top of the wardrobes. Like, we're physically there. And in terms of people often want to know, I don't know where to start. So when you come, should I already know which room I want to start in? Should I have gone to Kmart or IKEA or Bunnings and stocked up on containers? And so we always, always, always say, don't buy any containers. You don't need more containers. We're going to help you first to declutter, and then we're going to know what you need. And more often than not, you've tried containers before you called us, because that was like, that kind of always seems like what people go to is like, oh, if I just have more containers, I'll solve the problem. And then when they realize the containers don't solve the problem, then they call out to a professional organizer. And when they're saying, I don't know which room to start in, either it's the room that's bothering you the most. Like, what's the reason that you called? What's that room that is just driving you crazy? You want to close the door and never want to look in there again. Or what area is going to bring you the greatest joy to have decluttered and organized? So it might be, they say, actually, the whole house is chaotic, but if my bedroom was a sanctuary and I could go in there at night and rest, I could cope with the rest for the next few weeks. And so it's just kind of helping them get ideas around that and to reduce that unknown and anxiety around it. Does that answer your question, Fee?
Yeah, it is. It is. And so I would summarize in the what to expect. I love that you're basically telling them to put them at ease. You're almost foreseeing from your own experience all of the emotions that happen from the moment they've already been having them before the phone call that they made to you.
That's true.
But then from the time that they've said yes and made a commitment to doing something until it's starting, just letting them know that range of emotions that can come up and what to expect in that. And then also laying out how it's going to unfold, I think that puts people's mind at rest. Just sort of some kind of a step-by-step outline, again, to support them in reducing that anxiety. I think that's,
Really and helpful. Reminding people that we are not going to tell them what they have to get rid of. Like, we're not there to make their decisions for them. We're there to empower them to make the right decisions for them. And so that kind of like, oh, good. So you're not going to come in and tell me I have to get rid of all of my Star Wars collection. No, I'm absolutely not. But I'm going to ask questions. We're question askers that are going to help you to know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so good. I love it. One of the things Chantel was just mentioning beforehand is a series that you're doing at the moment on ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just give us some tips around your knowledge in this area as it comes to tackling the organizing or just sort of stuff, photo organizing obviously, but you know, your experience with your organizing with people that have either a diagnosis of ADHD or tendencies that could just provide some insight into that.
I'm an ADHDer, but I am not a psychologist. I'm not an ADHD coach. I've got kids with ADHD. I've got staff with ADHD. I've got lots of friends with ADHD. So I'm not speaking from a medical perspective. I'm speaking from my own experience. But executive functioning is often an area that is tricky for us ADHDers. And particularly things around like initiating tasks. Like, I can sit here and think I really should do that. And I can think that for half an hour, but the actual doing of it, I don't understand necessarily why there's that break. It's a brain thing. But then that's really hard if you're trying to organize when you've got trouble with initiation or you've got trouble with planning like that, what should the next step be? Mm-hmm. And so that's a really tricky thing for ADHD is they're like, I know what I want the end goal to be. I just am not quite sure what the steps are to get there. And so that can be really helpful to have kind of the framework. Like we've talked a lot about frameworks today. Like what are these foundations? What are the scaffolding? And that's really helpful for ADHDers. it's helpful to have body doubling. So whether that's a friend or whether that's listening to a podcast or whether that's a professional organizer, but someone who can come in and kind of be that company. They don't even have to be doing the same thing as you. Lots of ADHD is like, I just need someone in the room, which is pretty cool. And the ADHD brain is amazing. Like I am constantly amazed at the creativity and the efficiency and the different ways that ADHDers think. And working with clients with ADHD, you often have to bring them back to task because you get like so easily distracted that you're dealing with something in the laundry and then you see something that goes in the toy room and then you're in the toy room and then you start sorting puzzles and then you decide that you actually would kind of like to do a puzzle and like you kind of do a whole lot of things in a little bit. And so an ADHDer can really benefit from someone who can keep you on task. That kind of working memory of like remembering what you were doing is a really big challenge. Even like I'm medicated and I see an ADHD psychologist and I still, my working memory is shocking. So yeah, it's really great to be able to have different supports when you know your different needs. If I'm someone with MS, I know that maybe reaching high in the pantry is really strenuous on my body. So I don't keep the things I need often up high. And it's the same with ADHD. Like I know that I find these particular things difficult. So what are the supports that I bring around me? And sorting through photos for ADHDers is probably a boring task in the sense that it's not a dopamine hit. It's not like exciting, new and fresh and quick. And so we probably do tend to not do it. We probably are the people that have one awesome scrapbook and a lot of scrapbooking supplies and a lot of photos that never quite made it. Or a filing system on a hard drive that is so intricate and never repeated.
So what you're really what I can also hear that it brings it back to something you mentioned before, it's important to know yourself. To know your limits, to know where you need help, and that there's no shame in getting help. You know, if you can't or don't want to do things, that's another aspect. It's not always just being able to, but also to simply not wanting to. Can't be bothered. 100%. I'll outsource it. You know, there's people who can do that. If I hate cleaning and I can afford it, I'll get a cleaner. It's not that I don't know how to do it, but it's a bit similar, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd prefer to, like, I don't cook. We have my dad who lives not too far away and he loves cooking. And so he's our chef and we pay him to cook because we don't want to cook. We both work full time. We both love our jobs and would prefer to spend a bit of extra time at work or playing chess with the kids than cooking. Mm. And so I could either see that as lazy or efficient. And I'm choosing to see it as efficient.
Absolutely. I love that. Can you say, does your dad take on new?
I know. Do you know the amount of people family? That ask? Yeah. They hear what we're having for dinner some nights and like, oh, does he take on other clients?
I love it's so that. True. It's so true. And I think that just brings us to, you know, like that, just letting go of those expectations that we put on ourselves.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with us, Fee. Like, there's nothing wrong with someone because they have a messy house. You're not broken. Mm. You just might need support to if you want to have a tidy house. And there's nothing wrong with you if you enjoy a messy house. There's nothing wrong with you. You might find that you lose things a lot and you waste time and money. You're not broken.
No. Yeah, and that's so it's so true. I think it just allows people that freedom to be able to then really seriously think about what it is that why something's not working and whether or not that's because of an expectation that they've taken on or is it really not working for them? And so where they need to shift that focus. And I think that's just, you know, helpful in all different areas of our life, really. But when we're trying to, when we know that we're, something's not sitting right, and, you know, like you said, you know, which room is it that would give you the best, most peaceful joy space, you know, that's really going to answer those questions of if it should be done. Otherwise we're, you know, maybe just, yeah, being able to look and see, are we hanging on to stuff that, you know, our parents and family have said we have to do, and it's like, well, that's just not important to me.
Yeah, and yeah. Sometimes you will have regrets. Like sometimes you will get rid of something that later on you think, oh, actually, I really wish I had that thing. And that's okay too. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have gotten rid of it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get rid of things in the future when you feel like you need to get rid of them. It just means that you're human, and as part of the whole experience, you probably also acquired things you shouldn't have acquired, yeah, or made choices that were, yeah, not the wisest choice. Like that's okay too.
Yeah. It's, yeah, human, as you say, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh my gosh, so many good stuff. So I am going to listen back on this episode myself because I love it. Some of the framework and things that you've put through are really helpful. One thing I would love to ask is, what is a question that we haven't asked you that you wish we might have asked you, or you think we could have asked you?
That is an excellent question. How about, can I reframe that with a question for you guys?
Yes.
Is when a client comes to you with their photos, what are the most common barriers to them actually doing the project? Because I think that they're probably similar to doing it in their home, but I'm interested to what that looks like for photos specifically. Mm-hmm.
Who goes first? You want to start, Fee?
I would say overwhelm. Overwhelm, and not having, because overwhelm for a range of reasons, but not having like a visual of what it could look like. And so it's a real barrier because people, it's too much. Mm. And like you said, having, you know, it is quite, you know, it's not a quick fix. With photos, there are a number of different steps. And so I think the barrier would be just that they're overwhelmed. So in that, the solution would be to be able to give them that hope and knowing that it's possible. Yeah, yeah. But that would be my answer to that. Great comeback question, Amy.
If in doubt, divert.
Yeah, and yeah.
I agree with what you just said. It is 100%. It's the overwhelm, I would say, is the top reason. And also just simply not knowing what, yeah, how it could look like, not knowing, you know, what, when you talk digital photos, what software there is, not knowing the consequences of what happens if I use that versus the other one, and just the lack of technical sort of knowledge, like, you know, backing up, how do I do that, what do I need. It's very techy in the digital world and very overwhelming, and that just freezes people and they don't know, where do I even start, you know, do you set up a backup system first? Do I start with the prints and sort those? Do I scan them? It's all those decisions. Yeah, it's just way too much.
And I could imagine too, Amy, similar to where people are at with their physical items, they know that there's a lot of really precious stuff in amongst it. Like there's some real treasures that they just know are somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's, yeah, sometimes you do feel like you're on a treasure hunt with, yes, clients.
Yeah. I've done that, yeah, with someone who had they knew there was a particular photo of a person that they wanted and was really important to them. And I was there when we found it because we'd gone through, and oh, I still remember. I can feel, I'll probably tear up just thinking about it. I'm a softie too, like you. We all are. And so it was, you know, when they uncover that, you know, that's when you know that it's that feeling that they get to experience over something that's so precious. Then they can let go of some other stuff.
Yeah, that's because really
it's that stuff that they really feel like, oh, this is, you know, when you were talking about what you need, use or love. And sometimes unless they've had that real experience for themselves of that connection to it, and then they can release the other stuff and realize that, yeah, I don't really love that blanket, doesn't really have that hold and that feeling and that link that I, you know, I definitely won't get rid of that blanket. But these ones, yeah, that's okay. Or, you know,
I think the hardest clients to work with are the ones who don't have any attachment to things, which ironically enough is quite me. Like I'm not a sentimental person. I don't have attachment to things. I like my life to be efficient. So I have things in order to serve my life, but I don't feel if someone said, we're going to demolish your house tomorrow, what are you taking? I'd probably take like my kids, my husband and my laptop. Like I genuinely don't, I don't have anything else that I think, oh, that's so precious. And I think that when you do have something that you love, you do have that comparison. Like I love that mug so much because my kid gave it to me and they drew on it themselves. And actually all the other mugs I don't care about. Like when you've got that comparison, it makes it much easier. I love that dress and all the other dresses, I don't really care if they're here or not. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have an attachment to anything, that's actually trickier.
Interesting. It is. And I think you know, the benefit of being able to have that, because like we say, there's no right or wrong here, and so the benefit of that then is what you do have, I'm sure, has a very clear purpose and serves that need. And so it's the same thing with photos, you know, because the memory of the person, whether they'd found that photo or not, then is, you know, dealing with that in a very different way. And that and you can still do that. And like you say, it's beautiful when there's just, you know, it just highlights how different we all are. And I love it. Yeah, that's really good. So we have a bit of an elevator pitch of a message you'd love to give out to the world. Oh. You've got the platform and everyone can hear. What would you say as something that you can leave with some nuggets of information or just the heart behind what you'd like to express? Your world stage elevator pitch.
Jeepers, no pressure.
No pressure.
We're not our stuff and we can't take our stuff to the grave. So have freedom from clutter here, because that allows you to do the things you love, be with the people you love, pursue the things that bring you joy, and give what only you can give to the world, because it's not about the stuff. It's never about the stuff. We need stuff. We use stuff, but you aren't your stuff.
Wow.
Okay. Did we get to like the seventh floor before the elevator doors opened?
Yeah, no, that was good. That was really good. That was t-shirt worthy. That was t-shirt worthy stuff. I mean. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Amy, for coming.
It's been a joy.
Today.
Yeah.
And as Fiona mentioned before, listeners, please check out Amy's podcast, The Art of Decluttering. Do you know how many episodes you've got up to now?
370, maybe?
Whoa.
And there's just a couple. Some great one. Oh my gosh.
They're so great. Good.
And you can search too. You can search on Amy's website too, which is fantastic. So
Yeah. So really, we do encourage you to have a look and a listen. and sign up. And also don't forget to leave us a review, please, for the podcast, for the episode, and keep in touch. Sign up to our newsletter, check out the website, and of course we will have all the links to Amy's website and podcast and so on in our show notes as usual. And thank you again so much for coming along, Amy. And I am Chantelle from Photos in Order.
And I'm Fiona from Photo Helper. And yes, just thank you, Amy. Thanks again. And when you have a look at Amy's website too, Amy's very prolific in all kinds of areas of writing and, you know, on the podcast and speaking. So there's a lot of different resources out there and courses and things like that 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 Amy runs. So I just really encourage you, as we've talked about on the podcast today, you know, really linking those similarities of organizing. And I think people that are listening to the podcast obviously have a heart for organizing their own photos or, you know, starting on this journey. And it's very likely that it's not the only area of our life that we have, that we would like to get some help in organizing. So please reach out. So thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
That's wonderful. So thanks again for tuning in. And as always, happy photo organizing. Bye.
See you.